You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 27 October. We've got Pick and Pay results due just after 7. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Nkunza Sanlam Private Wealth. So we're off the grey list. That's a big story. And then we had US CPI. We've got a possible US-China deal. We've got markets at all-time highs. It's a bull market. We can fight it all we want, but it's a bull market. Hannes van der Berg from 91. We're looking for value in the local market. Also, where those risks lie, particularly perhaps around the precious metal miners. And then we're going to be chatting with Absa CIB, their latest Absa Africa Financial Market Index for 2025. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, high-speed Jersey to Durban train plans back on the radar. Department of Transport invites innovative ideas from potential investors in new generation 120-kilometer-an-hour regional trains using existing rail networks. Business Day, the cash-hoarding myth. SA policymakers are once again peddling a comforting fiction that businesses are sitting on $1.8 trillion in idle cash. Morning markets, the US was green on Friday, S&P 0.8%, NASDAQ up a full percent. The East is green, Sydney 0.2% higher, Tokyo a little over 2% up, Hong Kong a percent higher, and Tencent 2% higher. Commodities are mostly red. Gold futures, 4,088.16. Platinum's 1,599. Palladium, 1,461. Rand, 1,722. Bitcoin, 115,000. Top 40 opening call. Green open, 580 points, or a little over 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now, Nkunza from Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning time. Late on Friday, I saw the news literally a minute or two before closing auction on Friday afternoon. Was it the Financial Action Task Force has removed us from the grey list? Make no mistake, really good news for us. But from a market perspective, it looks like it's priced in. I mean, we're going to have a green open. The rand's a little bit stronger. But it does look like the market was kind of expecting this.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Look, let's take the good news when we get it.
Yeah.
It actually was a good news, and secondly, it was quite a few years ahead of what was the global, I guess, medium now to get it done in 3 years. So, kudos to the team behind it. But as you said, I think from a foreign investor perspective, it does start to open things up. It makes us a little bit more attractive, less onerous on the regulation, and we can only hope now that those bonds continue to rally, those yields come down, and the cost of capital in South Africa gets cheaper as well. So the knock-on effects are really they run pretty deep at the long term of it.
I take that point. I mean, it is certainly good news, and there is only positive knock-on effects from it. Let's head offshore. The US, we had a US CPI. There's been challenges because of the government shutdown, but we got a number. It was a little high, but I don't think that's going to spook necessarily Jerome. We've also got a possible US-China deal that Xi Jinping and Donald Trump are going to sign. It's a wild market, and it is fundamentally a bull market. I mean, we can fight that all we want, but stuff's going up.
Yeah. And also that the Fed is due to meet tomorrow as well, and they are widely expected to lower rates by another 0.25%. So add in the fact we've got a low rate environment as well to add fire to that or fuel to that fire. They did take a special sort of exemption to release it while the government is shut. I mean, long-term market watchers will comment, well, I mean, the Fed's target's 2%, still 3%, so it is a little bit sticky. I saw a few notes saying, 3% is the new 2%, but but either way, inflation is certainly coming back a little bit. Rates are being lowered, and to your point, I mean, you mentioned the forex this morning. I also want to add in that the Nikkei up above 50,000 for the first time. Well, so, there really is, and I think we've said it a few times, that the path of least resistance for this risk assets at the moment continue to be higher. And don't fight it, those pension funds and stuff. It's been a while since you've had, a really solid green year for SA equities. So it looks like it's going to grind that way into year Aaron, I would assume.
Yeah, and US markets also all-time highs on Friday. ECB also on Thursday expected to cut. And that's the key point. I like your point around that. And yeah, I've been into enough bull markets where they start to get a point where it feels wrong. The key point is, I mean, frankly, ignore what I'm feeling because, as you said, the path of least resistance is higher and we must just enjoy watching our portfolios go up. At some point it changes, but not today.
Yeah, and you know, everyone talking, you know, back in the day, you talk about when recession's on the cards or this is coming. In my experience, you can never telegraph these things. You know, they come when they're least expected, and it's usually an event that you can't forecast. You know, whether it be a tragic, war event or something that comes completely out of the blue. Yes, valuations are looking stretched offshore. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
but I mean, they can stay stretched for a while. I mean, if you think back, these comparisons being spoken about now, I mean, the dot-com bubble, but, they were talking about a market bubble in 1997, 1998. I mean, if you had got out back then, you would have missed 40%. and I must, I refer back to one of the, sort of the best traders in the world that ever lived, you know, Mr. Soros, George Soros of Quantum Fund. His famous quote was, he made most of his money in buying into bubbles. And as I said, yes, it's frothy out there, but, rather wait till you see a few negative days or things look like they're rolling over, which is definitely not what's on my screen right now. So just let things run.
Yeah, and I like your point. I mean, it is. It'll be something that comes out of left field. Mm. And I remember I saw something over the weekend. You will recall, I think it was 22, early 23, the outlook for recession in America was 100%. Well, we're not dead yet at all. Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning time. A poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you bullish? I mean, it is. It feels weird. But as Nick said, it's the path of least resistance. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Hannes van der Berg. He is co-head of SA Equity and Multi-Asset at 91. Hannes, appreciate the time. The JC so far year to date, spectacular year. Some 30% up for the index, but this really masks a story. We've got resources, most notably PGMs and gold, up over 100%. Banks, what, mid-single digit, retail actually down. It really is a tale of multiple parts for our market.
Yeah, that's correct. If you look underneath the 30% return that we've seen for the index, as you say, for those sectors, the resources sector is up 105%. Driven by Anglo Gold, 170% up. Gold Fields, 178% up. Impala Platinum, those stocks are up 130%. The reason for that is because the commodity prices, gold's up 55% for the year, platinum 76%, palladium 55%. You've seen quite aggressive upgrade cycles to earnings expectations for those stocks. And then on the other side, you mentioned the retailers. Fushini recently came out. They're only able to grow their top line by 5%. Their South African retail top line by 5%. And it's difficult in that environment if you have to control costs for your earnings to stay stable. In fact, it's going backwards because it's, the costs and the margins are squeezing.
Take the point on that. And I mean, this is this then, and let's touch on the banks for a moment. I mean, the banks are not on demanding PEs. Some Nedbank and Absa are pretty much at book value. Surely this then suggests there is some compelling value in some of the non-resource stocks on our market, the sort of SA Inc. And SA Banking.
Yes, the resources stocks are about 30% of our index. So the fact that they're up 100%, that explains why we are up 30%. And the argument or the case here to be made is that the rest of the market is looking very attractive. You mentioned the valuations of banks. They grow their earnings somewhere between 8 and 10%. They give you a dividend of 6 or 7%. So I often joke about it. You can put your money in the money market and get 7.5% return on money market, or you can just buy a South African bank. You're going to get a dividend yield of 7%. You've got earnings growth of somewhere around 10%, and they're trading very attractively priced.
And there are some big picture tailwinds coming. We've got a rand that's looking better. We've got our bond yields well improved. And inflation, I mean, came in a little higher, 3.4. But that 3% target is going to help us potentially in terms of re-rating and maybe even some foreign investors.
Yeah, if you take a step back, 2 years ago, our rand was closer to 1950 or 20.
Yeah.
Our bonds were trading closer to 11.5, 12. Today it's 17.30 on the rand, and our bond yields are around 9. And these stocks are still trading at valuations way more attractive than pre all of this sort of positive news coming through. So foreigners, I think that the last hurdle for them is we need GDP growth and we need job creation. So they want to see closer to 2% GDP growth, because that growth part is what will make them allocate capital towards us.
Yeah, it is that 2%. It is that GDP, which has not yet been forecast even for next year. And I imagine there's also around policy certainty. I mean, the government of national unity has kind of disappeared from the headlines, which is frankly a good thing, because every time they were in the headlines, it was fighting. But we need more of it.
Yeah, touch wood. As things stand, we haven't had another issue that makes I call it the unhappy marriage of the government of national unity stick together. They know they've got the next election up ahead, municipal elections, and then national elections. So they all want to make this work for the next round of elections. But you're right, headlines are being driven by our 3% inflation target, sort of good news starting to come through on our fiscal framework, with better tax collection, and the fact that these platinum and gold companies are doing so well means the company income tax fiscal situation will benefit from that. So you're right, we're focusing on the right economic issues. As I said, what we now need is confidence from companies to spend, confidence from companies to employ, and hopefully that can deliver 2% and above GDP growth, maybe not in 2026, but in 2027 and 2028.
And some of the risks, and I mean, we get them locally, but there's some global risks that could impact our market, if not necessarily directly impacting our growth. It could hit the rand, it could hit our bonds. You know, I think around the AI trade, I think around US-China tariffs. I mean, there are different risks out there beyond our control as an economy in a country.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's always a lot to worry about. Risk assets in equity markets often like to sort of refer to it as the wall of worry. People will remind us of geopolitical risks and Trump and trade tensions and bubbles and AI, etc. But the way I look at it is, risk assets in equity markets have done well. SA up 30%, the rest of the world up 15% for the year, and we're getting interest rate cuts. It's a very unique environment where central banks are giving more liquidity to the market because of labor market concerns, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, I think that provides quite a constructive backdrop, even though as you mentioned, all those risks you highlighted, we keep a close eye on them. Companies globally are doing quite well. Risk assets, equity markets are doing quite well, and therefore we still remain constructive.
The other risk, and I'm not going to ask you to try and predict prices, but of course, you know, gold has doubled this year. PGMs are up probably 70-80% on their spot prices. I mean, that's a risk if they start to sort of, I don't know, not even collapse, just return to more normalized levels. There is a risk there which wouldn't impact the retailers, wouldn't impact the bankers, but would make our market look less exciting.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So we try and look at what variables sort of will indicate to us that there are cracks appearing. So we try and follow the US labor market quite extensively, trying to see if there's weakness coming through for the US consumer, because the US economy, 70% is driven by the US consumer. Yeah. We're trying to stay close to dollar. I think it's fairly consensus that people want to be underweight dollar because of Trump and politics and everything, fiscal situation, the big, beautiful bill, and uncertainty with regards to trade. So that's very consensus to have a weak dollar. So what if the dollar bottoms and starts to strengthen? Then, as you say, the gold trade, our rand strength, a lot of those questions will be asked, and things can go the other way. There's obviously still geopolitical risks around which we have to monitor. Inflation stays in the background, and we have to watch out, you know, if inflation starts to pick up because of all these tariff and trade uncertainties. Those are some of the risks that we can't ignore. And if they start going the other way, I'm pretty sure the markets will move in that direction, which means, you know, the gold price lower, gold stocks give back, platinum stocks give back some of the returns that they've made. So it might be a time, you know, if I look at it, for some consolidation, that would be healthy if we can see some of that.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And of course, I mean, the markets are about risks. It's not a case of no risks. It's a case of spotting them. We'll leave it there. Hannes van den Berg, co-head SA Equity Multi-Asset 91. Appreciate the time. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio sub-managed by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Anthony Curie. He is Managing Director, Global Markets Africa Regional Operations at Absa CIB. Anthony, appreciate the time. The Absa Africa Financial Markets Index for 2025 has just been released. Before we drill into some of the sort of the nuances of it, what are you looking for in this particular index? This really is, I suppose, a sense of as it in many ways says in the sticker, the financial markets and how they are organized. This is not about returns. This is about the working of the markets.
Morning, Simon, and thank you indeed. And that's absolutely right. The Absa Africa Financial Markets Index is really a measure of financial market development across Africa. We are in our ninth year, and the index continues to serve as a benchmark for market infrastructure and really provides policymakers with an opportunity to learn from improvements across the continent and support the dialogue around how do we deepen our markets, how do we make them more open, transparent, and accessible for various market stakeholders.
And that's the key point. And what we see, 10 markets were improving, 11 were falling, unchanged in 8, a mixed bag. But you mentioned it's been going on for 9 years. What's the trend been over the years of doing the index?
I think certainly what we've observed is the index has become increasingly a reference point for a number of stakeholders and certainly amongst the key regulators in the markets in which we cover. And the index serves to focus attention on some of the levers that the regulators in these markets need to increasingly focus on to drive growth and support the development of their various markets. And we've seen a number of countries do this more deliberately. Mm-hmm. I think what is notable in the index this year is the improvements we've seen, particularly from the likes of Uganda, which has gone in the last 5 years from being sort of the bottom of the top 10 and has actually risen to number 3 in the index as well. And this has been due to deliberate actions that they have taken in adopting suggestions that have come through from the index to deepen their market.
And some of that, you mentioned Uganda, Nigeria, in terms of FX reforms, they really have been, and the reforms have been really focusing on interbank liquidity, on credibility in the market as well.
No, certainly. And I think one of the things we do measure, or two of the pillars that we look at, is both market depth as well as access to foreign exchange in the index. And what's notable is Nigeria, especially the major FX reforms that focused on unifying FX windows and clearing the $7 billion backlog, has been a key contributor to Nigeria's strong rise, particularly on under Pillar 2. And similarly, Uganda has continued to focus on liberalizing its FX market and improving interbank liquidity, as well as the adoption of various legal standards and frameworks that have been promoted by the Bank of Uganda for the broader adoption in the local market.
You mentioned strengthening sort of depth of financial markets, and we've certainly seen that. And part of that has been in sort of range. We're seeing more Islamic and ESG related instruments coming to market, which is an important, as I said there, you know, sort of creating that depth within the market.
No, definitely. I think it's worth noting that a number of countries have been quite deliberate about this. And we do see that around 18 countries have various forms of climate-related financing or Sukuk-related financing. And we did see Tanzania this year issue their first Sukuk bond, their sovereign Sukuk bond. And we expect more countries to follow suit as well. As countries look to tap these different asset pools or liquidity pools of capital to help deepen and broaden the sources of capital that are available to them.
You also spoke, the report speaks around sort of renewed optimism. And that particularly, I mean, obviously, a lot of the reforms happening in FX, the depth of markets, those all lead to optimism. Mm-hmm. But the sort of the easy for the person sitting on the outside, I suppose, is expectations around GDP growth. And that really, notwithstanding the geopolitical uncertainty existing out there, we are seeing good expectations for GDP growth across much of the continent.
No, certainly, I think the continent has had to navigate various global headwinds, geopolitical tensions, as you've highlighted. But what's been positive is from a macroeconomic point of view is that we've seen strong improvements in the GDP outlook for 22 countries. We've also seen an improvement in the inflation outlook for the same number of countries. And also notable is the debt to GDP has also improved in 16 of the economy. So it does bode well for what the future will look like, even as Africa navigates through the various geopolitical challenges that we are all exposed to.
Yeah, and of course, that plays to social improvements as much as financial. We'll leave it there. That's Anthony Currie. He's Managing Director, Global Markets Africa Regional Operations, Absa CIB. Appreciate the time.
That's it for today. I was chatting with Skulk Lowe on Friday, PSG Old Oak. We're talking about the Sasol update and, of course, the jump in oil as the US puts some sanctions on Russian oil. That saw the stock up 17%. We asked you, are you holding Sasol? Over half said yes, but cautiously. A quarter said no, been burnt before. And the rest said no, not yet. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Where to invest in Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.